This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.
Today's global trade flows and supply chains are increasingly fragmented. Companies need to be flexible if they're to withstand unpredictable shocks. Supply chain resilience is already proving to be a rate-determining factor. It is forcing leaders to carefully consider the balance and trade-offs between cost, risk, and agility. I'm Sean Kearns, Director of Strategy at FT Longitude, and in this series, we consider the how and the why of strategic shoring and the critical factors that determine its long-term success. In this episode, we consider how data and collaboration can maximize shoring success. I'm delighted to say that joining me is Chris Callieri, Chief Supply Chain Officer at Victoria's Secret. Chris, thank you for making the time. You've got a huge amount of experience when it comes to strategic decisions around the supply chain. You've worked with a number of world-renowned brands. I wanted to understand, in today's environment, which factors influence those decisions more than they used to in the past?
I always start with the number one thing is, where do you get and who do you get that craftsmanship of product that you're looking for? Because if you're not making the best product for your consumer, the question in my mind is, what's the point? Second thing, diversification becomes pretty important. I think we probably lived in the last few years the biggest episode of disruption with COVID. But disruption happens, you know, all of the time. And I would say that today, as I look to, you know, over the past several years, putting COVID to the side, I think we're living through a period of a fair amount of disruption, whether it's things like Middle East conflict and driving to the shutdown of the Suez Canal, whether it's looking at what might happen as far as ports on the East Coast of the U.S. and the potential for a strike in September, whether it's disruption that's being caused by climate events. So we just recently had a typhoon that caused some damage in parts of northern Vietnam, you know, which has led to a bit of delays in some of the production, as an example. Whether it's a disruption that's being driven by industrial policy intervention, so whether it be tariffs or other regulations and so on. So I think we're living right now, it feels like, in a moment of a fair amount of disruption. So diversification becomes very important. Unfortunately, diversification often comes at a cost, you know, because if I have two locations, usually there's one that's, you know, slightly cheaper or faster. And so by the fact that you have another one to provide yourself with some flexibility, you're taking a trade-off there, whether it's on the cost or the lead time. So resilience comes with usually trade-offs. I think the environment that we're operating in today, which I would characterize from a retail perspective as being somewhat challenged, puts a lot of pressure on the cost side of things. So there's that tension between, you know, cost and resilience. I think just to summarize it, I think for me, craftsmanship, where you can get the product you need, number one. Two, thinking about availability, and that's both about the number of places that you're in to have that diversified footprint, but also about the places that you're in to make sure that they have that stability. And then cost and lead time are the two other factors that weigh in.
Thanks, Chris. You painted a very rich picture of a very complex situation. You mentioned disruption, diversification. Does this mean that companies like yours are now pursuing or looking to pursue, and I think this is what you were saying, to some degree, very different strategies? So you might be onshoring or you might be nearshoring. We hear a lot of different shoring terms. Is it the case that a company like yours and others would pursue or consider multiple strategies at any one time because you need that type of agility and you may not be locked into one of those strategies for the longer term? So in other words, you need to be able to change and be a little bit more fluid maybe than you were in the past.
I always think about the decisions that you make in supply chain as decisions that are about how do you service the best interests of either the overall or a particular segment. So I wouldn't use the same set of criteria. Like the elements of decision making are consistent, but the weighting, if you will, of those factors is different. So think of a segment in your business that's highly, highly driven by fashion, where either the materials may change based on consumer dynamics or the way that you finish those materials, whether it be color or graphics or other things, right? What's going to help you win there is having that agility to respond to what you're seeing. So from that perspective, you know, you might make choices where you trade off a little bit on the cost of the material, or you trade off a little bit on the cost of the make, but you are focusing on that agility and that speed, because if you're responding to something that's happening, chances are you will have a pretty good sell through at full price versus getting stuck with bad inventory that you have to mark down, right?
Yep.
And that may drive me down to, you know, places that have that more robust ecosystem where some of these capabilities are in place, et cetera, et cetera. If I think about a different business that's driven by basic core product that largely remains unchanged over, you know, a longer period of time, and where you have a lot more history of the consumer behavior and demand patterns, then I can make sure that I support a never out of stock model through, you know, safety stock and inventory. And what I'll take advantage there is I don't need that agility at any one point in time. I will opt for what is the location that gives me that most cost effective landed cost for the product, right? So that would be the combination of the materials, the make, the transportation, et cetera. So I think part of it also then comes into play is what is your outlook for the medium or long term? Most of us, anyhow, are not necessarily economists or sort of experts on what's happening, but you do have to take a viewpoint and then obviously engage with your partners so that you can all make the best decisions in the interest of the business.
Given the complexity of that decision making, you mentioned there about talking to senior colleagues, senior executive colleagues. I wondered to what degree your relationship and collaboration with those senior colleagues has changed because of the decision making that you've just described. I guess a question in two parts: how have those relationships changed? How have they needed to change in terms of their input? And B, the data inputs to this decision must have changed as well. I mean, you've mentioned a few of them there. There are financial considerations, there are sustainability, environmental considerations as well.
I think the challenge for supply chain professionals, how do you ensure that you are balancing that need for collaboration and for engagement with recognition that your role is to try to simplify things and make those decisions, those trade-off decisions as simple as possible for your partners, and making sure that you are able to engage them in enough of the context setting so that they understand, you know, why they're having to engage or why they're having to get engaged in some of that decision making.
And what about on data? We have more data than we know what to do with right now. But given what you've just said in terms of trying to predict, trying to be resilient, are you drawing on different types of data sources than maybe you did do in the past?
Yeah, data is kind of a challenge in some ways. And so I think if I think about supply chain, there is a lot of data that's internal to the business where we have it. And some of the challenges that you run into is where's that data originating? How is that data shared, et cetera, et cetera. So even if you've got data that's internally generated, depending on your overall system complexity and processes, you have your own data challenges, data quality topics that you have to deal with. So the idea of how do you manage your data and how do you ensure that you have, you know, that data integrity and a really clear mapping of what are those sources of truth and so on, managing your data ecosystem is super important. So we've got the internal side of things. So that might include point of sale information, that might include inventory levels, that might include, you know, where the inventory is located, et cetera. In supply chain, I'm also dealing with data that comes from partners. So whether it's a mill that has certain yards of material that they've already knitted or woven that they're storing for us, it has data related to factories where it's about what line capacity they have available for us. For any particular product, what stage of production is it in? Have they cut the materials? Have they started the actual cutting and sewing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then I've got all of my transportation partners, right? So I've got freight forwarders and consolidators and, you know, so on and so forth. So I think to me, as I look to the future, I think where the opportunities lie is in connecting that upstream data in my supply chain with the internal one. So where I can very quickly read what's happening on the demand side with consumers. And as soon as I have that read, being able to quickly, based on the internal, all of the information that I've run in from, you know, upstream into the supply chain, to help me understand very quickly to what extent I can react to that demand signal. So if you don't have that system or that data available to you, I may have to go and engage through a series of conversations to understand, you know, what are the materials that I have available? What's my capacity position? And it could be 2 weeks or, you know, a reasonably long period of time before I can say, yep, I can react into that demand signal. So we live in a world where it's tempting to have more and more data. But if you're not really thoughtful about where you're going to use it, you're just creating more complexity for yourself.
You mentioned earlier there are, you know, there are multiple different strategic shoring strategies. The decisions and the trade-offs around the supply chain are more complex than they ever have been. You've already given us a lot of advice to other supply chain leaders, but is there one thing that you would impart to those leaders in this environment, in this disruptive, difficult at times environment? What would your advice be to those leaders in terms of staying the course with their strategy?
I think to me, it's about, you know, having a clear point of view and conviction on what you think is right and ensuring that, you know, it gets heard and considered. Within supply chain, there's obviously a lot of things that are in your control, but a lot of it is about your ability to influence decision making. So whether it's influence decision making around investments that we should be making, or influencing decision making around some of the trade-offs that we should be accepting, right? So I think having that clear point of view and conviction so that you can fight for investments or decisions that you believe in, I think it's really important. The second thing that I would say, I think you have to feel very comfortable with being wrong and learning. So I think a really good decision today may not be a good decision tomorrow. So having the humility, I guess, to sort of acknowledge like, yep, we got this one wrong, and, you know, change and course correct is also important. So I think overall view would be, you know, keep ego low and, you know, have a kind of a learning mindset, not to sort of try to be flip about it. But I think those are probably the two things I would say.
I'd say keep ego low is good advice for all of us. Chris, thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks for your time, Sean. Appreciate it.
This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.